Okay. Start again. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I had a little look at what he was doing along the way. And I'm reading from Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho, his disciples, the great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise. He's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Everyone was on the way to Jerusalem, where the big festivals were held, a city full of hustle and bustle. He was on his way to the Passover. And perhaps on their journey, people would stop off at Jericho or stop and rest at Jericho. It was along the way. And it seemed like a good place to sit and beg. At least it seemed that way to Bartimaeus and his friend. Because in there's three references, three passages that refer to this, this healing. One in Matthew, one in Mark, and one in Luke. In the book of Matthew, it refers to two beggars. Mark and Luke don't contradict how many beggars they were, but they focus on the one. And only Mark names the one who was healed as Bartimaeus. Three eyewitness accounts of the same incident. Three eyewitness accounts of near identical conversation, all with the same outcome. So it's widely accepted that although there are three slightly variant recordings of the same incident, it's the same one. We know nothing of Bartimaeus, absolutely nothing except that he was blind. We don't know for how long, we don't know what caused it, it could have been from birth, it could have been from an accident. We know nothing of him apart from the fact he's the son of Timaeus. And the name Timaeus, when I looked it up, meant highly prized. Highly prized by who? I don't know. Maybe he was a man who was highly prized within the community. Maybe it was a name that meant he was highly prized of God. Whatever it was, all we know about Bartimaeus is he was blind and his dad was called Timaeus. And he was a beggar. There was no PIP, there was no DLA, there was no help for anybody who couldn't provide for themselves. And there are many countries right around the globe where if you are unable to help yourself, you are dependent on the mercy of others around you. In June, Sonia and I are going out to Romania to the Smiles charity to go and do some work, a different sort of work to here. It'll be more manual, painting, cleaning and whatever's needed of us. But I've been over there, I can't remember if it's 6 or 7 times, and the first time I went in 2007, we saw people dying of cancers that couldn't afford a paracetamol. We saw children begging because it was the best source of income for their family. People would give more money to a child than to an adult. You would see people sat at the side of a road with sickly babies because the babies would attract more mercy and more money. And I know that we see people sat begging maybe around here and it's nothing in comparison. It's nothing in comparison. And in this particular time in history, quite often if somebody was had a disability, it could be seen as a divine judgment upon them, or because of their wickedness. A physical handicap could sometimes even be looked at, upon as a laziness, as not to get out and do something. In the Old Testament, God commanded Israel to care for the poor and the handicapped. So the presence of beggars in Israel showed the disobedience of Israel. And in the New Testament time, beggars are commonplace. There are quite a few references to them. And almsgiving, or the giving to beggars, was praised as a good work, contributing to a person's righteousness. You've done a good thing. And so we can relate to that. There are some people who think that they are in brownie points with God because they've given to a charity, or because they've made this donation. It's good. Please don't get me wrong, it's good. But it doesn't earn you brownie points with God. It doesn't contribute to your righteousness. The righteousness that God wants to see in us is Jesus Christ, his Son. That is the way that we have a relationship with God. So hence, people on their way to Jerusalem, to these big festivals, these religious festivals, maybe they were more likely to give along the way. Maybe if you sat begging in Jerusalem, you were a little bit crowded out, so there were too many of you, and you had less opportunity. I'm speculating. But this could well be the reason that Bartimaeus and his friend decided that Jericho was a good place. People are passing through. Maybe if they're on their way to a religious festival, maybe they want brownie points with God. Maybe they're coming back and you could look at them with doleful eyes and sort of make them feel a little bit guilty that they could get there and you couldn't, and they give you a little bit more. I have no idea, but Bartimaeus was sat in Jericho begging at the side of the road. Now, Bartimaeus had obviously heard the news about Jesus. It wasn't social media like we had today. But the healings and the miracles that Jesus had done, the authority with which he spoke, would obviously have spread throughout the villages and by word of mouth. And it would have gone before him. And Bartimaeus had obviously heard that Jesus was different. And in his mind, he had decided that Jesus was the real deal. Jesus did miracles. That the meaning of that word miracle is an event that occurs outside the bounds of natural law. There's no record of anybody in the Old Testament being healed of blindness, even though there are records of men of God healing people and even raising them from the dead. But in the New Testament, Jesus gives sight to quite a few people. And I looked and I thought, he didn't just give physical sight, he gives spiritual sight. Because in this scripture, Bartimaeus received his sight, he followed Jesus. We've no idea how or when Bartimaeus had decided that Jesus was the answer, that he was the promised Messiah, that he was the one Israel was waiting for, but he had faith. In a hopeless, desperate situation, there's one choice to make. There's one choice to make that'll make a difference. There's one chance he's got to make a change. There's one moment in time. And I'm going to look again at Mark 10, 47, 48. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He heard the crowds. He could feel the excitement. The anticipation was building up in him. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You've got one chance. He's blind. He can't see how far away Jesus is. He doesn't know what he looks like. He hasn't seen any miracles. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. This is my chance. His only hope was coming closer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. If you were stranded on an island and you saw a boat or a ship passing by, would you not shout at the top of your lungs for attention? This was the desperation of Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, the title reserved for the promised and the anointed one. Have mercy on me. That word mercy means be compassionate to me. Have pity on me. Let me receive mercy from you. People tried to shut him up. Some people could have been a bit offended that I was giving a little shout then. Because he wanted, he needed, he was desperate for Jesus to hear him. It's not polite to shout at Jesus. Can you be quiet? There are more important people around you. You're embarrassing. Look at you. For goodness sake, you're a beggar at the side of the road. What right have you got to call on Jesus? But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. He stood still. Verse 49 says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him, he'd been preparing his disciples. I was reading in the lead up to this. Just prior to this, it says Jesus a third time predicts his death and resurrection. Jesus knowing he was going to his death. Jesus knowing that the very people around him would turn on him, would scorn him, would turn their backs. Jesus stopped along the way because a broken, desperate man believed in him and stopped at nothing to get his attention. He stopped for a beggar. And it's not the first time. How many of us are struggling today? You might not be blind, but you can be clouded by the darkness of your situation. You might not be physically blind, but you could be so held in the grip of something in your life that you can't see past it. Are you trying to live your life in your own sufficiency? Or do you think there's always somebody worse off than me? I can't pray for myself. I can't ask for myself. You might even be saying, well, I don't really know Jesus in that capacity. Just as Bartimaeus was confronted with the possibility that he could do something about it, he could do something about his situation, we face that daily. It's not a day passes where you can't do something about your situation. And I don't mean that you physically, in your own strength, can do something about your situation. I mean you can determine by faith to get Jesus' attention. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He commanded it. He spoke with authority. He bid him to come. He answered This word commanded means all these things. When we speak to Jesus, do we really expect him to stop still and answer us? I would hesitate and say there are very few times when I have totally and completely believed that Jesus would listen and respond to me. Because a lot of the time I think, why should he? I'm just me. It's like you said, Sonia, who am I? And who am I to do anything? Who am I to command the attention of God? Who am I to call Jesus and ask him to stop for me? I am precious. I am a child of God. I'm redeemed by Jesus. When you call out at the end of yourself in desperation, Jesus stops, he listens, and he answers. Bartimaeus threw aside his garments. The clothing that defined him as a beggar, as he got up off the pavement, he threw aside his garments and he went expectantly. He didn't go up with his beggar's cloak around him and stand before Jesus. He knew he was standing before the only one who could change his life. He went expectantly. And in verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Tell me, Bartimaeus, what's your heart's cry? Bartimaeus, put your faith into words. Ask me. Talk to me. And in the middle of a heaving, bustling crowd, because don't forget, people knew who Jesus was by now. There was an intimate moment, one-to-one, between Jesus and Bartimaeus. He took time out for one broken beggar. You are precious in God's eyes. Jesus died on the cross. He was on his way to the cross in this story to take our sin, to take our shame, to take our brokenness, to forgive us. He is the only one who can forgive us. He is the only one who can make a change in us. And he says to each of us, what's your heart's cry? Put your faith into words. Ask me. And in verse 51, Bartimaeus said, Rabboni, that I might receive my sight. This is an Aramaic word. Rab means master. Rabbi means my master. Rabban means our master. But the phrase he used, Rabboni, it means my great master. It's a Jewish title of the highest respect, the highest accolade that he could have given Jesus, the total respect and recognition of who Jesus was. It was the evidence of Bartimaeus' faith. This beggar, the beggar and the king. But the king stops for the beggar. And there was no drums, there was no fanfare. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. We have no idea of the life that Bartimaeus lived. We have no idea of the struggles that he's had. We don't know what paths he had chosen, what life choices he had had, what people had done to him. Which I'm pretty sure, being a beggar at the side of the road, he would have had some pretty scary and hairy experiences. And Jesus didn't say to him, I want you to ask me to forgive you for doing this, this, and this. I want you to earn your healing. He just said, your faith has made you well. I see you, Bartimaeus. I see where you've come from, and I know where you're going. You might feel that you're in a position where you have made wrong choices, or things have happened in your life where people have hurt you so badly that nothing is going to change that. You might feel that you're in a total pit. It could be of grief, it could be of hurt, it could be bitterness. You could be lost in that place and as blind as Bartimaeus and be hopeless. Don't become comfortable with the impossibilities that you see in your life. Because we can become comfortable. We can make excuses for the way that we are. We can make excuses for being in the place that we're in. Don't get comfortable in the impossibilities that you see, because we serve a God of impossibilities. For with God, all things are possible through Jesus Christ. And forgiveness is a prayer away. Forgiveness is a heartbeat away. What garments are you wearing that shroud your life? What garments are you wearing that limit your expectations on life? You might not physically be wearing a beggar's cloak, but you could be glad for any scraps that Jesus sends to you. You might not be wearing a beggar's cloak, but that spirit of infirmity is holding you bound. Cast off the garment that is holding you back and free yourself from the burden that you place upon yourself. You are not sufficient to live your own life. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives, and it involves Christ Jesus. We have not got the sufficiency to live according to God's plan. You were never meant to carry everything. You cannot solve anything. I shared with Diane the other day. I've come to the realization over the last couple of years particularly, I'm a very controlling person, in a nice way maybe, but I think I can fix everything for people, and I've learned the hard way that I can't. And quite recently I've been told, in my spirit, hands off. By God, hands off. Let me deal with it, Linda, because you're not me. But in everything, you might be one of those people who like to have your timetable and your diary set in order so that you know where you're going, because you feel safe. You know the boundaries that you set for yourself. You were never meant to carry even your own life. We are only called to surrender it to Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You can't rescue, you can't heal, you can't save yourself. Only the Lord. The gospel is preached. The truth's being spoken. And now by faith, you can reach out and cry out to Jesus for your need. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. In other words, he has all sufficiency for everything in your life. Not just now, but forever, for as long as you're walking this earth. He has sufficiency for you in Christ Jesus. The Pharisees and the religious leaders of Bartimaeus' time refused to see and refused to believe what was before their eyes. Don't let unbelief cloud ours. Jesus sees, hears, and is able. And the answer may not be as you expect, but you will receive. Sometimes we're just asked to trust in faith and wait expectantly, walking in that faith, waiting for our eyes to be opened, sometimes literally, sometimes spiritually. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Trust me. I've asked Jesus and nothing has happened. I've asked Jesus, he didn't answer my prayer. I will say to you, I know what that is like. But I know that my prayer and my prayers are heard. Because I don't get the answer I expect. It's not God who's at fault. It's not a punishment. I could be praying in a way that isn't part of God's plan. Or maybe the best thing is that my prayers are answered in a completely different way. But let me tell you, you are not punished. God is not a God with a stick waiting to punish you. That sickness and that disease, that's not a punishment from God. We live in a fallen, broken world, and a lot of the things that go on with us are because we live in a fallen, broken world. Some things are man-made, some things are lifestyle. We are not meant to live forever. God is God. Jesus is sovereign. And he stops when we call on him at the end of ourselves and desperation. Charles Spurgeon says this, when you are so weak that you cannot do much more than cry, you coin diamonds with both your eyes. The sweetest prayers God ever hears are the groans and sighs of those who have no hope in anything but his love. I'm going to ask for a time of prayer. I don't know your situation, but my heart breaks because I know some of your situations. And if you are desperate for a touch of Jesus upon your life, you don't have to say what it is. But I would ask that you respect that there are other people in this place, in this room, who are desperate. In the same way that Bartimaeus was, Jesus, stop. I need you. Can we take this opportunity? Because this is the time and the place. The word, the truth has just been spoken. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's between you and heaven, whatever you ask or say. I will gladly pray for anybody that wants prayer from me. But I beg you, I urge you, that if you have a need that you are at the end of yourself with, that you cry out from your heart now. If you do want me to pray for you, then please stand and I will come to you. If not, please just sit in your seats and respect those around you. Father, thank you for your promises in Christ Jesus. Thank you that your word has been written down, so that we are able through Jesus Christ our Lord to come to you. We can cry out as Bartimaeus with Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, see me. See me. Go to the
impossible, we trust you, and we step out in faith, believing. Believing that we are worthy. Jesus would stop. Believing we're worthy to be healed, to be delivered, to be spiritually awakened, to be saved, to have our cloaks of inability removed. So good. We love you, Lord. Expect Jesus to answer you. Look for him. And look for the work that he's doing, not just in your life, but in those around you, those you've asked him for. And just give him all the glory. Amen. Thank you.
That's how it goes to you.
Yes. To your God.
I think it's about just to say, you are in a situation.
Oh, Sonia's doing it now.
Very good, buddy.
I have no idea how.
From then on, I wasn't going to trouble. You were not quite well.
Thank you.